As you've realized, our theme for this morning is generosity. And as I've pondered this, my mind has drifted back to when I was a youngster on the cusp of adulthood and the time in my life when Jesus was popping up often in my life. In fact, I realized as I thought about him and I thought about that time that I couldn't actually get rid of him. It seemed like wherever I turned, there he was, in my thoughts, all of the time, challenging me to think about my life, about my world, about the world that we're living. And he was calling me to follow him. From a very young age, and who knows why, Jesus intrigued me. And I've realized how images of him had an impact on me because at first I was obviously too young to be able to read. So I couldn't read the stories about Jesus. But I did. I got a Bible. My mom bought me a Bible. I've shown you that Bible before. That was my first Bible and I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I didn't read at that time because I only went to school when I was 6. So I managed to get a few more years before I had to go to that dreaded place. But I saw images of Jesus. Jesus, the good shepherd. I saw Jesus, the friend of children. I saw Jesus, the master, teaching his disciples. I saw Jesus as healer, and I saw Jesus the guide. I had a poster on my bed, or above my bed, with Jesus, a picture of Jesus above a young sailor steering a boat, and Jesus was pointing the way for this young man. I'd seen it in a shop, and I'd bugged my mum, and she had bought it for me, so I stuck it up above my bed. I saw Jesus hanging on a cross between two other crosses with a soldier standing looking up at him. And in my young heart and mind, what moved me more than anything, what eventually convinced me, if you like, to commit my life to Jesus, was the kindness of his heart and the generosity of his love. Amy Carmichael, a Christian missionary, wrote, "You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving." And this is what struck me about Jesus. What made him give mostly of himself was the love that dwelt in him and flowed from his being. In him I saw a generosity of love and kindness and goodness and grace and compassion that made a massive impact on me, even as a child. And so as I was reflecting, I asked myself, why did it have such a big impact on me? Because as an introvert, although I wouldn't have known what that term meant as a young child, you often feel or are sometimes told that there's something wrong with you. Because what extroverts seem to enjoy doesn't do all that much for you. Come and join in. Come and do this. Come and do that. You know, it's just like, ooh, I want to run a mile when those things happen. I thought about my birthdays. I had about 3 birthdays as a young child. And I think the attendance was like my 3 best friends. That was it. And I was very happy with that. I was very quiet. I lived in my own head. I enjoyed my own company. I liked solace. And so what I witnessed in Jesus in terms of the generosity of his being drew me in because it included me. And I realized that as quiet as I was acceptable in his sight. Don't get me wrong, my parents weren't horrible to me or anything like that. They were wonderful. But that's just what my life was like. Those are the things I felt. And as I've got older, I've come to appreciate more and more the generosity of Jesus, in the sense that Jesus didn't cling to things. Instead, he gave away and he gave away and he gave away even his life without counting the cost, and called those who would follow him to do the same. And friends, we know that we don't live in a world in which we always see such giving away, where we see such generosity. And I have to say, it worries me and it pains me that we are witnessing the very opposite of what we see in Jesus and hear from his lips, as many people, driven mostly by fear and sometimes plain ignorance and prejudice, things which are also driven by fear, want to cling onto identities and things that are largely myth in the first place. It's very much like what we witness in Jesus' parable of the rich fool, where a landowner, having excess, tore down his old barns and built bigger ones on the same space in order to maximize his profits, in order to allow him to wait for a good price for his crops, and also in order for him to be able to eat, drink, and be merry, as the Bible said. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." And we might think, well, the rich landowner was simply storing up riches for a rainy day, that he was simply being prepared like a good boy scout. But what he was, in actuality, was greedy. You see, as he stored up excess for himself so that he could live the good life, so that he could eat, drink, and be merry, the poor people around him had to live with empty bellies, because the crops weren't in their bellies, they were in the man's barn. In other words, as he pursued self-interest, any generosity that may have dwelt within him simply wasted away or melted away. And selfishness consumed him, and it's a common thing. Whenever human beings feel threatened or have managed to accumulate stuff, we tend to become quite self-absorbed. As Christians, however, we are taught not to worry, not to cling to our possessions, whatever those things may be, because of one simple factor. We are called to trust in God. God and not our possessions give us life. Desmond Tutu said, "Like humility, generosity comes from seeing that everything we have and everything we accomplish comes from God's grace and God's love for us." Certainly, it's from experiencing this generosity of God and the generosity of those in our life that we learn gratitude and to be generous to others. The challenge is to trust, because it's easy to talk about trust so that we might be generous, but letting go and trusting, as all of us know, is very hard. It's like jumping out of a perfectly good aeroplane and believing that your parachute is definitely going to open. We are called to be generous. We are called to give of ourselves and what we have, because that's what serving God and serving others looks like. Now, having said this, I don't believe in seeking to force people or guilt them into being generous, because such a thing has to come from the heart. But it's definitely worth pondering the words of the Aga Khan, who said this: "If our animosities are born out of fear, then confident generosity is born out of hope. One of the central lessons I have learned after half a century of working in the developing world is that the replacement of fear by hope is probably the single most powerful trampoline of progress. And so we are called to trust in God so that we might be generous. Let us look to the generosity of Jesus in every facet of his life and seek to follow his lead. Let me finish. I've got another quote. I'm full of quotes this morning. A quote from Maya Angelou, who said these words: "I've learned that people will forget what you said. Of course, you won't forget what I've said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." Just like Jesus made me feel as a young boy, accepted and loved, as he touched my life with the generosity of his being. Amen.